Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Brendan Brazier as my special expert guest. Brendan Brazier is a professional Ironman triathlete from Vancouver, BC. He is the 2003 Canadian 50-kilometer ultra marathon champion and has placed both second and third in the Royal Victoria Marathon, third in the Canadian Long Course Triathlon Championships, and eighth in Ironman Utah. Brendan is the author of the Canadian bestseller Thrive, a guide to optimal health and performance through plant-based whole foods. He is also the formulator of Vega, a hemp-based performance-enhancing whole food meal replacement. For his formula, Brendan has been nominated for a Manning Innovation Award. The winner will be announced this September. Good morning, Brendan, and thank you for participating as my special expert guest on this, our 50th edition of SNU.
Hey, thanks for having me, Corey.
So, Brendan, I'm sure that we all want to know how you got into the industry, and we're going to talk about how you formulated Vega and your involvement in sports, but what steps led you up to you being involved in working in the natural health food industry?
Well, mostly it was just personal interest. I've never actually been really interested in the industry per se, right from the start, but when I was 15 years old, I got interested in performance and just becoming a better athlete. At the time, I was just running. I wasn't cycling or swimming, and I mostly just wanted to improve my recovery, so I did some research, and I found out that nutrition, of course, can play a huge part in that, and that's kind of what got me into doing some research and getting into the industry, really.
So what did you discover by doing this research in nutrition? Were you following a typical Canadian diet as a young person, and did you make some dramatic changes?
Yeah, I would say growing up until the point I was around 15, I did eat like a normal Canadian, and I found it was okay, but it really, I suspected there was probably more I could get from it when I was becoming really athletic. Of course, recovery is key for any kind of sport, doesn't matter what it is. So the quicker you recover, the sooner you can train again, and the sooner you can train again, the quicker you improve. So that became really clear to me. So yeah, I did make some changes. I started eating healthier, really, from a general standpoint. I'd never ate what I consider to be really unhealthy, but then I realized I still had a lot to learn.
Well, you're known as a professional Ironman triathlete, and when most people meet you, they look at you, and you look like a runner. You know, you're tall and very lean. Now, do you have a background in playing other sports? Have you always been a runner? What got you into running, and specifically the sport of triathlons?
Around grade 9, a friend and I wanted to play hockey, and we had never skated before. And as you know, growing up in Canada, most people start skating at around 5 or so, and had a big advantage because we were, I think, around 13 at the time and just started skating. So we just played in a house league and really weren't that good, and our skating was definitely what was holding us back. So I thought that I could do a lot of off-ice training to improve my general fitness, so started running, and my cardiovascular system obviously improved as a result, and I did become a better hockey player, but just starting skating at such a late age really kind of held me back. But I just really started to like running then. It just kind of took over. Even though I just started off as cross training with it, it kind of just surpassed hockey is what I like to do the most. And I just went from there. And then I got injured at a point and started riding a bike to keep my cardiovascular fitness good and take the strain off my injury. It was a stress fracture. And then the natural fit after that was learn how to swim and do a triathlon. So that's kind of how it evolved.
Well, it's said to be the complete sport. You know, you've got your swimming and your cycling and your running, and they're all individually specific to certain muscle anatomy and functions, but they're all very much demanding endurance. So when you get involved in running a triathlon, which part of the race do you favor? Which part of the race is more of a challenge to you than, say, the three different types of activities?
Well, swimming's my weakest event, for sure.
Isn't that true for most triathletes, that swimming is their weakest part?
Yeah, generally it is, although there are a few guys who've come out of college swim programs and who are great swimmers and seem to pick up cycling and running pretty fast because they're so cardiovascularly fit. They they just seem to be able to do that. But then there's a lot of people who just are not in that situation, haven't swam as a young child and grown up doing it. So, yeah, it takes a lot of time because it's not like cycling or running where you can just go and put in the miles and get better. There's so much form involved, and even really fit people cannot be good swimmers sometimes, and that's the situation I found myself in until I kind of stepped back and didn't just really pound out hard workouts in the pool, just really learned how to do the stroke properly and just slowed it right down, just deconstructed the whole thing, kind of like a golf swing in a way. Some people have to completely deconstruct that to get better, and that's what I found with swimming.
What about cycling? Would you say that there's a lot of technique involved, and how does a cyclist improve their speed or their time and distance events?
Well, I would actually say there is more form involved in cycling than a lot of people give it credit for, although you can still get really good at cycling by just going out and doing it. And then if you learn the form, you can improve even more and just get that efficiency really good with a nice clean pedal stroke, knowing when to force the pedal down and then when to kind of relieve on the backstroke and let it come up, and have both legs working together, which some people actually don't do. They kind of fight each other. But once you do some drills and learn how to really master that smooth stroke, it makes a big difference. And that's one of the best things you can do for your cycling, obviously, is just getting the efficiency down. But intervals are really important, too, as with running and swimming as well. If you go and do them at above race pace, and then race pace feels so much easier. So going out, a typical workout for me is on the trainer, which is indoors, would be, say, 8 minutes hard, 4 minutes easy, and do that five or six times at a really high tempo, and that really improves the cycling quite a bit. But base is really important too, and that's kind of the, as you can imagine, the core of Ironman training is long, easy rides that get your body efficient at burning fat as fuel. So going out for 6 to 8 hours sometimes and just keeping the heart rate low and just spinning through and letting your body learn how to burn the fat and preserve the glycogen, they're definitely the key workouts.
So compared to other sports, training for a triathlon, let's go all the way to an Ironman distance, say a year out, what kind of time are you looking at per day in preparation for that event, which is a year in advance?
It's quite a time commitment. There was a point, I guess around 98, 99, where I was just getting into racing Ironman professionally, and I was putting in, year-round, I would be putting in, on the smaller weeks, probably 30 hours. The big weeks, it was 40, even 42, 43 hours a week. And the bulk of that was on the bike, because it just, the more you do, the better you get at a low heart rate. You can really just put in the miles. You go out for sometimes 30 hours a week of just easy cycling, and it's, you don't really get tired from it because it is really easy, but it's kind of funny in that it doesn't improve you right away, but it does long term. So yeah, like you say, a year and a half out or 6 months out is where it's going to really be noticeable, whereas the intervals, you'll notice an improved fitness level 2-3 weeks later, but this is really long term, that easy stuff. And I think a lot of people can kind of get discouraged by that because they're putting in so much time and not seeing the results right away. But that's something that every Ironman athlete has to deal with, is put in the time now and wait for a year or so to get the results.
So it's pretty much true for all sport. If you want to do well and succeed, you have to put in the time and be committed and stick with it. And eventually, as your condition improves, you just start to move forward.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've found too. It's kind of a nice feeling to know that if someone beats you in an Ironman triathlon, it's because he's worked really hard and trained hard. And, you know, talent and natural ability will only take you so far in a sport like that you just can't fake it. You've got to put in the time. So if you get beaten, at least you know the guy's worked hard to do it.
When you're competing yourself and you're standing on the starting line and the gun goes off, what's in your mind? Are you competing to win? What is your primary objective in your mind?
Really just get into the, you know, I hate to say it, it's such an overused term, but the zone. It's just the point at which you know you can maintain. The pace where you're most comfortable, you know that's the pace that's going to get you to the finish line the quickest, and that's the pace that you've practiced in training, and you know very well in your mind what it is. And I think a lot of people get distracted by other people and go off and try and stay with them, and that might last for half or three-quarters of the race, but then they'll usually fall apart. You just have to stick to your plan. Stick to the pace that you've got for yourself, and that will get you to the finish line the quickest. So sometimes there's a temptation there to go with other guys and try and get to the line quicker, but if you know yourself well and you've really trained seriously, you're probably best to stick with what you know and stick with your own pace.
Now tell us about the uniqueness of your diet, Brendan, because it is fairly unique, and you're making a fairly strong position stand about what you do and how you do it. So maybe you can tell us what is so unique about how you eat.
Well, I've done it for quite a while now, so it hardly even seems unique to me anymore. But yeah, when I hang out with other people, I realize it is pretty unique, because a lot of them are more conscious of what they're eating now, but they're still not at quite the point that I am. That seems to work really well for me. I'm completely vegan, so don't eat any animal products, no dairy, no eggs. And I've been that way for 15 years now, and at first it was a bit of a struggle. I really didn't do it right. I was hungry a lot of the time and didn't recover well, and just ate lots of bread and refined foods and didn't get the quality nutrients I needed. But once I figured it out, and I did get all the nutrients I needed, blended things together, made a blender drink out of that, it worked really well. And right now I'm about 80% raw as well. I eat lots of fruits and vegetables, and actually I'm even cutting down on grains quite a lot and just replacing them with fruit, and it seems to work quite well for me.
Now you've written a best-selling book called Thrive. Where did you get the idea for that title, and how did you come up with the health principles that I've read in the book?
I don't remember how I came up with that. It just sounded kind of catchy, I guess, and just picked that. But the principles are the ones that I've been using for myself for quite some time now. I started racing professionally in Ironman triathlons in 98. And then in 2004, I had a bike accident. I was hit by a car and couldn't race that year. So it actually gave me some time to put down my plan that had worked for me over those years. And yeah, just basically personal experience, different things I'd found that had worked, and some other things I found that hadn't worked. I made notes of that. I've never actually had a coach. I've just kept a really detailed training and nutrition log over the years, and it's very clear when my diet is best, my training is best. And I made that connection and thought, well, maybe I'll write a book about this and just get it out there, just the benefits of healthy whole foods and a plant-based diet. That can actually work for many athletes. They don't need to fear that if that's what they choose to do, have a plant-based diet and be a high-level athlete. They can go hand in hand.
Now, I know, like yourself, you're standing around a group of athletes, whether it's competitive or in training, and you see them eating the various things that they're eating. What is one of the major principles in your book that you would want to get across to somebody who's listening to this SNU that you think could change or improve their athletic performance?
Well, one of the things I see quite a bit is lots of refined foods. Lots of athletes still eat the pastas and the breads, and even with white flour in it. And I think white flour is really quite bad for people. And one of the main principles in my book is that eating bad food that just doesn't digest well and food that is really quite hard on the system causes stress, and training causes stress, and the body has to recover from both. The body doesn't know where the stress is coming from, whether it's emotional stress, poor diet, training. It's all the same to the body and causes the same reaction within the body. It causes the adrenal glands to become fatigued, therefore cortisol, the stress hormone, to go up, and that makes sleeping harder. It makes maintaining lean muscle mass harder. Losing fat is harder. So if you're stressing yourself as an athlete, which essentially that's all training is a form of stress, then you need to rest and recover. So by going and eating food that causes even more stress, it's just going to prolong the time it takes to recover from the training. So obviously it's not in an athlete's best interest. So when I see athletes eating all these foods that that ultimately cause stress and slow recovery, it just kind of makes me think that some of them may be great athletes, but I think they're really great in spite of their poor diet, certainly not because of it. And I just try and have them see that connection and just realize that they could be much better if they did clean up their diet. And a healthier diet is going to lead to a healthier athlete, and a healthier athlete is ultimately going to become a better athlete.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And so by reducing the burden of stress in one way, we can gain value in another. So that sounds pretty logical. That's a great idea. And certainly more of that same kind of information is in this book. So for everyone out there, I recommend reading Thrive. It's a good read from an athlete who knows and understands the game. Now, your formula, I've used it. It's a wonderful formula. The ingredient panel is clear. It's, made from some of the highest quality materials that I've seen. And I know that your quality control is without exception to be relied on. So maybe you can talk about the design of Vega, what's in it, and how it came to be.
It was actually, I started making it back in 1990 when I first became vegan and wanted to be more competitive as an athlete. But it was different to what it is today. It was, I started off making it soy-based when I was 15 years old to get more protein, and then it's kind of evolved over the years, and it was around 2003 I just kind of took it to the next level. It was at that point where I was using hemp protein, which I found to be a really good protein source, much more alkaline than a lot of the other processed proteins, such as some of the soy isolates are very acid-forming, and hemp I found my recovery was much better when I began using that. And then adding pea and rice protein to complement the amino acid profile of hemp has really helped a lot. Because what I learned was that hemp, even though it's complete, it's a little bit lower in the amino acid tryptophan. And that's a precursor to serotonin that helps you feel better, helps your mood, all of that. So I added rice protein because rice protein is quite high in tryptophan. And then pea protein is quite high in glutamic acid, which is an amino acid that helps metabolization of starch and sugar. And that was obviously very important for an endurance athlete to be able to use starch and sugar efficiently, because that's the primary fuel source. So having that pea protein in there to get enough glutamic acid and just basically have a flatline amino acid profile, I noticed the difference was dramatic. I was recovering so much quicker. I didn't have the soreness or the stiffness after even a hard workout. And that kind of became the basis of it. And then adding flax seeds for essential fatty acids, which is good for skin health and also endurance athletes because of metabolization. Just good healthy fat, and then enzymes to help digestion, probiotics, prebiotics for the intestinal tract, the good healthy intestinal flora, maca, which is a Peruvian root vegetable that I found to be really good as well. When my adrenal glands became fatigued after lots of training, I started adding the maca, and that just brought the cortisol levels back down and got me training again and really helped a lot. So I researched that, got that, and started adding it into my blender drink. And actually, that's how it kind of began, is using the maca and the Maca Sure brand, which is from a company called Sequel Naturals. And I contacted them and just told them how useful I had found it for my adrenal glands, just getting them back into shape. And then after a while, I proposed the idea of making a replica of the blender drink that I'd made for myself for years, and it worked really well. And then the owner of Sequel, Charles Chang, said that he thought that was a really good idea. And so we collaborated and got together and made Vega, a commercial version of what I'd made for myself for years.
That's a great story, Brendan. You know what? And the honest truth of it all is what makes it so great. So it shows that if you have an idea, you can stick with it. And eventually, like Brendan now, he's got his own product. He's on the tour. He's doing his thing. He's helping people. That's fantastic. Now, there's something else in there that you didn't mention that I want you to talk about, because I love it myself. It's that chlorella, because of its chlorophyll. And what else is good about chlorella that's in your product?
Chlorella is excellent. It's very high in chlorophyll. And that was also a Sequel Naturals product that I started adding as well. I first got interested in chlorella because of its B12 content. And of course, being vegan, that was something that interested me. So that sparked my interest. But then when I researched it, I found all these other great attributes that it had, such as it's almost 70% protein, which is quite incredible. It's an algae from Japan, grown in fresh water. It's very good for recovery in that it's very alkaline because as you say, there's lots of chlorophyll in it, and it's high in protein. So that's really rare to have that combination. So yeah, I began having 2.5 grams of that each day, and then added that to Vega, full serving, 2.5 grams. And again, recovery is the key, and that's what I found this really contributed to. And it's RNA and DNA growth factor as well that really helps the body recover quicker and helps the muscles regenerate faster. So that was really important for me. And also just kind of the fact that it's the most efficient way to produce protein there is. It's quadruples every 24 hours on just a small amount of fresh water. So you can imagine that compared to some of the other ways that they produce protein that are really energy expensive, basically. And this is very energy efficient. So I like that environmental tie-in as well.
Now, I really admire what you and Sequel Naturals have done with the quantity of each of these primary constituents. You're not pulling any punches. Like, when you take a serving of this stuff, you get a good whack of all the good stuff. So now maybe you can tell us how you use it yourself and how, say, an athlete, maybe runners, endurance athletes, or any athlete could use this on a regular daily basis.
Well, what I do is I have, after a hard workout, what I do first is I make sure I'm well hydrated. So just water, or water with some electrolytes, some sea salt, or even seaweed. I like Dolph seaweed after a hard workout, and water. And then I usually have some fruit right after, just easily digestible fruit, dates, bananas, mangoes, papayas. And then I'll let about 30 minutes go by and have a full serving of Vega, so 2 scoops, which gives you 25 grams of protein from 5 sources, the hemp, pea, rice, flax, and chlorella. So full spectrum. The EFAs, that's really important for repairing muscle, and the maca with the sterols in it, and the chlorella that we talked about as well. So it's all in there to really help speed the recovery. Plus, of course, it's in liquid form. You mix it with water, and so it digests very easily. So again, it's easy on the body. The body doesn't have to expend a lot of energy to break it down and assimilate it, which of course is going to help speed recovery even more. So I would say if it's just after a gym workout and it's not a really hard workout, you could have it right after. But after a long endurance workout, I like some fruit first and then give it 30 minutes and then have the serving after that.
Now let's talk a little bit more about hemp, because that's gaining ground. It's becoming more popular in the industry. And what are some special properties of hemp that it might contain that other proteins don't?
Well, one thing I like about it is that it's unprocessed, or largely unprocessed, whereas a lot of them, the isolates and the ones that are heavily processed, then become more acid-forming, whereas hemp is really quite good that way. It's actually, by the way, the pH of Vega is 7.2, and blood is right around 7.35, so it's really quite close to that, which is good for the immune system and bone health and a bunch of things. But hemp alone, I found, is good for that reason. Also, its branched-chain amino acid profile is really very solid. It's quite high in chlorophyll as well. If any of you have seen hemp, it's green, and that's because of its chlorophyll, so that keeps it more alkaline too. And the way that it assimilates is really quite good compared to many proteins. And I, like I say, the fact that it's natural and not a lot has to be done to it, I'm really pleased with as well. And environmentally speaking as well, to grow hemp is so much more efficient than many other crops, and you can grow 4 crops on one plot of land over the course of a year, which some you can only grow 1 or 2. So that way it's very good as well.
So the overall impact of this formula, is it also vitamin and mineral fortified, or do you suggest taking additional antioxidants and other vitamin and mineral products along with the product?
Yeah, it does have all the vitamins and minerals in it. I don't take any supplements anymore. I used to take a whole bunch. I went through a stage where I was taking an incredible amount of supplements, all kinds of vitamins and minerals. But with Vega, you don't need to. You just, it's got all the food in it, but it also has the high-quality HVP chelate vitamin mineral complex, and it has an 800-plus ORAC value from berries, which is very good. It's an antioxidant that really helps speed recovery as well, so it is complete. If you eat a reasonably good diet and you have one serving of Vega a day, you don't have to take any other supplements, and that's the way I do it, and I feel really good doing that, and it's kind of nice mentally, too, for me not to have to take pills all the time, and it just feels better.
This is something that an overweight woman could take also, or say an underweight man. I mean, can you use it as breakfast? Can you take it between meals? Can you use it as a pre-bedtime snack?
Yeah, because it is very low in sugar. It only has 2 grams of sugar, and there's just naturally occurring from the hemp and the flax and so on. So it is actually good to take before bed if you are trying to bulk up, gain some lean muscle mass. What a lot of people do, I find, is have half a serving in the morning for breakfast with a bit of fruit, and then another half serving around 2 or 3 in the afternoon in place of a starchy muffin, for example. It will have, say, half a serving of Vega has 120 calories and 12.5 grams of protein, which is like 2 eggs plus the EFAs and 4.5 grams of fiber and all of these really good nutrients, whereas a muffin could have 400 calories, very high in starch, refined carbohydrates, very low in protein. And so that'll make a big difference. Even just doing that, anyone could just maintain lean muscle mass much easier and lose fat over the course of just a month, just that one little change. So if you want to gain muscle on it, have it in addition to meals. If you want to lose fat and maintain lean muscle, have it as a snack just sort of throughout the day, or actually replace a meal with it.
Excellent. That's great advice. Now, if somebody wants to look at the specs and find out more about you and Vega, do you have a website they can go to, Brendan?
Yes, they can go to my personal website, which is brendanbrazier.com, or they can go to the Vega website, which is myvega.com.
Good. Okay, so that's BrendanBrazier, brendanbrazier.com, and myvega.com. That's great. I will confirm to all our listeners that this is a great product, and Tracy and I have both used it. It's very clean, of the highest quality, and something that you may want to experiment with and blend in with your other products. Brendan, our time is gone, and thanks very much for an excellent interview. Your experience as an athlete and as a formulator has been invaluable. On this particular edition of SNU, our focus is the definition of health. So we'd like you to share, if you may, what your own personal definition of health is.
Well, for me, it's having the energy and the drive to do what I want and do it when I want, just basically not being limited by my physical and mental self, really just doing the things I want when I want and not having to worry about my body not holding up.
Brendan Brazier, professional Ironman triathlete, the author of the Canadian bestseller Thrive, and the formulator of a great product called Vega. We thank you very much.
Thanks, Corey.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle, new way of life. Listen, it's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.